All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we realize that without you, we can't do anything. And so, Lord, help us. Dear Spirit of God, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, speak to us from your word in these few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10, a passage that, actually, when you come to 1 Chronicles, you want to jump over it. All the names. So-and-so begat so-and-so. And then suddenly, you come to this oasis in the middle of a desert of names. I call it an oasis in the middle of a desert of names. Really, these names, really, most of them would mean nothing to us. But I think it's tremendous how that God had took the time to put every one of these people's names in the Bible. Amen? And so that in God's sight, every one of us is important. And he knows our name. Every one of us. But as the writer was writing and telling us about these various descendants of the Israelites, all the 12 tribes, he comes to this one man by the name of Jabez in chapter 4, verse 9, and he makes this profound epitaph. Now remember, this is an epitaph. What will they write on your tombstone? When you're gone and you're buried and you're here no more, what are people going to remember about you? And what will they write? And me, what will they write on our tombstone? Now, it doesn't matter. Well, I like to visit graveyards and read the tombstones. And read the comments. The name lived and died. And then, you can tell a lot about that person just by a verse. Oftentimes, a verse of Scripture that will be on that tombstone that put there by the family as a testimony on behalf of the deceased. And so here, God puts this tremendous epitaph on the tombstone of Jabez. And he says he was more honorable than his brethren. And so we have to ask ourselves, who were his brethren? And there's only one other verse in Scripture that talks about this man, Jabez. And it's in 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 55. And in that verse, we learn who his brethren were. We even find out the kind of man that Jabez was, what he did. When we read verse 55 of 1 Chronicles 2, we learn a lot about this man. In these three verses, the only three verses in all the Bible that speak about this man, Jabez. And so, As we look at this, the paper that you have in front of you, I'm going to try to connect this as a mission challenge this morning. According to Acts 1:8, missions begins at home, exactly. Jerusalem, home. The word, then it says in Acts 1:8, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, and in the King James, and I love the King James. I don't use anything but that. In the King James, it says both. But he gives three more locations. I always think of both as meaning two. But he actually is giving three other locations. He says we're to be witnesses beginning in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the little word both signifies that Missions signifies both here and abroad. Here and abroad. Okay? So our mission program, some people say, well, you know, we gotta reach our own Jerusalem. And they use that as an excuse for not reaching out internationally. You know, we're not reaching our own Jerusalem. I've heard churches say that. We have to concentrate here. No, not according to Acts 1:8. According to Acts 1:8, we're supposed to do both. Amen? We're to do here and internationally, statewide, to the next state, to our nation, and to all the world. And so no one has the right to go to a foreign mission field who is not first a missionary at home. And I mentioned that the other night. And so let us notice three characteristics that made Jabez more honorable than his brethren. And there may be more, but these three have really stood out to me in this text here about Jabez. First, it says, and Jabez, what? Called on the God of Israel. Is there any other? Is there any other God that can answer prayer? No. There's no other God that can hear and answer prayer except the God of Israel. And he called on the God of Israel, and he said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Tremendous prayer. So the first thing we notice about Jabez is that this teaches us that he was a man of earnest, what? Prayer. Yeah, just hear that heart cry, folks. He's not just mouthing words here. He's not just praying a little lay me down to sleep prayer. He's crying from the innermost being of his heart, and he says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. It's a cry from his heart, okay? And then saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. The word indeed suggests that Jabez was a man of extraordinary, anybody want to guess? What's that little word? NIV. The writers of the NIV, they didn't think that that word was important. So they just took it out of the NIV. But this little word, indeed. He doesn't say, bless me. He says, bless me indeed. What is he saying here? To me, when God spoke to my heart in April of 1992 from this passage, as I meditated and conjugated upon this verse, God spoke to me that Jabez was a man of extraordinary humility. He was a humble man. He said, Lord, I don't deserve your blessing. Do any of us deserve God's blessing? None of us. None of us deserve his blessing. And so when Jabez is saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, he is saying, Lord, in spite of my unworthiness, in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of the fact that I personally think Jabez had a disability. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. In spite of my disability, in spite of my limitations, God bless me indeed. I like that. What he was saying is, Lord, I'm not worthy of your blessing. So in spite of my unworthiness, God bless me indeed. Spurgeon, in his commentary, he said regarding this word indeed, that what he believes Jabez was saying, and I agree, he was saying, Lord, I want your full blessing. Amen? I want everything that you got to give me. I like that. What he was saying is, God, I don't want to miss anything that you've got for me. Bless me indeed. Give me a full blessing. I want life and I want it more abundantly. Amen? Good prayer. And so we learn about his extraordinary humility. And then he said, and enlarge my coast. This teaches us that Jabez was a man of exceptional what? Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my, vision or faith, exactly. You could use either one of those, but I have faith, okay? Faith. He was a man of exceptional faith. Now, when he lived, they were going in and conquering the land. It was during the time of Joshua and Caleb, and when they were going in and conquering the land. And what Jabez is praying is, Lord, I want a larger piece of real estate. Amen? Now, do you think he was asking for that for personal reasons? He was not. Not according to Jewish tradition. This man, Jabez, was a doctor of the law. According to Jewish historians, they say that Jabez was a doctor of the law and that he had a school of disciples. He was a discipler. And he said, God, enlarge my coast. Is this a good prayer? Is this something we all should be praying for? Pastor Jim, should you not be praying for this right here in your city right here? And any of us that are missionaries, wherever we are serving, or any of you, any lay people, should we not be asking God to do these things? And so let us notice at least three requests that were made by Jabez. His first request was, and that thine hand might be with me. Sounds like the Great Commission. I will be with thee. Lo, I am with you always. Amen? And so he says, Lord, that thou mightest be with me. So this teaches us that Jabez requested God's presence. He wanted God's presence. Thine hand might be with me. God's power and presence. The hand of God speaks of power. And then with me, his presence. And so he is asking God for his power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. All right? We need God's power. We need God's presence. And Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the world. Is he with us today? Amen. And then it says, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. This teaches us that Jabez requested God's what? Protection. Exactly. He asked for his power. He asked for his presence. He asked for his protection. Are these things that we should be asking God for? Amen. Good things. Good prayer. And then he said, lastly, that it may not grieve me. This teaches us that Jabez requested God's what? That it may not grieve me. Now, in order to understand, and I puzzled with this for several years. I chewed on this. I said, Lord, what is he saying here? That it may not grieve me. And one day the Holy Spirit turned on the light. He said, what he's asking for, his name, Jabez, means son of grief. You know anybody else who's a son of grief? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Huh? And his name means a son of grief. Or literally in the Hebrew, his name literally means, if you have a Scofield Bible and you go back in the section of proper names, and you look up the name of Jabez, you will see that his name literally means he causes pain. Why in the world would you name a child, you cause me pain? Why would a mother call her child, "You cause me pain"? Every time she calls you for breakfast, for supper, for lunch, "You cause me pain." Now, why in the world would a mother name her child, "You cause me pain"? Well, we'll say more about that in a few minutes. So his name literally meant he was a son of grief. And so now, as he comes to the end of his prayer, he puts the capstone on his prayer and he says, "Lord, the last request I have in my prayer is that it may not grieve me. My name has caused pain. My life has caused pain and grief for my mother who named me Jabez. But God, when I come to the end of my life and I look back on my life and I look at my past, may I not be grieved because I didn't do something I should have done and I did do something I should not have done. That it may not grieve me." Amen? And so what Jabez is saying here is, "Lord, when I come to the end of my life, may I have no regrets." Is that a good prayer? How many of you want to come to the end of your life and have no regrets? I do. I do. I want to come to the end of my life and look back. I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to regret that I should have done something and I didn't do it. And I also don't want to regret that I did do something that I should not have done. Amen? And I like what Jabez said, what the Bible says. "And God granted him that which he requested." That morning, in April of 1992, I said, "Lord, if you would do this for Jabez 3,000 years ago, and you would not do it for me today, if you would bless him indeed, if you would enlarge his coast, if your hand would be with him, if you would keep him from evil, and so that when he comes to the end of his life, he would not be grieved, if you would not do that for Jabez, if you would do that for Jabez and you would not do it for me, Lord, you would be a respecter of persons." Now, is God a respecter of persons? No. You say, "Oh, Brother Jim, you ought not pray so boldly." What does the Bible say? "Let us come," what? "Boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need." Amen? God wants us to pray boldly. Now, I'm not of the persuasion like some of these charismatics that believe that you can just tell God what to do. That doesn't work that way. We don't tell God what to do. Amen? We ask God. We ask God. Now, I understand it says in the Bible, "Command ye me." Well, I think we can do that through our bold praying. Spirit-led bold praying. And I think the Spirit-led bold praying is when we pray God's words back to Him, He loves that. He loves to hear His word. And so I hope that we all will get in the habit of praying God's words back to Him more and more. In order to do that, we need to commit His word to our memory. Amen? We need to memorize His word. We need to hide His word in our heart so that we will not sin against Him. We need to have His word deep down in. Some additional comments on the back of your sheet, and maybe when we close here today, Brother, I'll give you notice now, Brother Larry. I have a little song back here on the back of the sheet. "I Want That Mountain." Maybe when we come to the close here before, right, I'll try to close a couple minutes right before 10:45, and we can sing this, okay? But additional comments. Jabez's name means affliction, or according to Schofield's proper names definition, Jabez means causing pain. Historically, it appears that Jabez may have lived during the time of Joshua's conquest or immediately thereafter. According to Schofield's notes on page 459, Jabez was from the posterity of Judah, by Caleb, the son of Hur. It is said that Jabez, now get this, was the younger brother of who? Caleb. Who was Caleb? Huh? I want that mountain. It belongs to me. Okay? And so so he was asking. He was asking. Caleb asked, reminded Joshua of the promise of Moses. And at the age of 85, he says, you know that mountain up there? That's my mountain. Moses promised that to me. Amen? And at the age of 85, it says he was as strong as the day when he went out to battle. At the age of 85. I hope I can make it that far. May God let me if Jesus doesn't come before. The ancient Chaldee manuscript taught that Jabez was the same as Othniel. Who was Othniel? Well, if you read Joshua 15, 13 through 19, it records for us the conquest of Canaan by Caleb and his younger brother, Othniel. The 1599 Geneva Bible also supports this tradition that Jabez and Othniel are one and the same. In the 1599 Geneva Bible, there is a footnote regarding 1 Chronicles 4:9. We read, otherwise called Othniel. Judges 1:13. So being of Caleb's kindred would explain the reason for this man's earnest prayer, his extraordinary humility, and his exceptional faith. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. What a tremendous epitaph to have placed upon this man's tombstone. And so we must ask the question, and I did, back in 1992. What was it that made this man more honorable? Well, because of his prayer, his humility, and his faith. But I think that we need to learn a little bit more about this man. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 2:55. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at where? Jabez. Who lived at Jabez? The scribes. Who were the scribes? Without the scribes, we would not have this blessed book in our possession today. It was the scribes who passed down the Word of God to us today. And God said that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. As a matter of fact, he was so honorable that they named a city in memory of him, the city of the scribes, Jabez. Because he was such an honorable scribe, he took so seriously the transcribing of the words of God. Because what does Proverbs 3:5 say? Every word of God is pure. Add thou not to it, lest thou be found a liar. Amen? Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Same warning from God. If you add to my words or you take away from my words, I'll add the plagues in this book or I'll take your name out of the book of life. God has magnified Psalm 138:2. He has magnified his word above his name. Why? Because it is the word of God that teaches us the names of God and teaches us all about God. We would not know his names or anything about him if it was not for the word of God. Amen? And so he has magnified his word above his name. And so we notice here that he was of the families of the scribes which dwell at Jabez. 1 Chronicles 2:55. The Tirathites, the Shimeathites, and Succothites. Now look at this. These are who? The Kenites. Well, we have to ask the question, who are the Kenites? Genesis 15, verse 19, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites, these were people that were living in the land. But now I want you to look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Exodus 2, someone find that, read that. Someone else look up Judges chapter 1, verse 16. And then someone else look up Judges chapter 4 and verse 11. Okay? And so, Genesis 15, 19, we already read that. Who has Exodus 2, 15 to 16? Who has that? Someone stand up. Stand up and read that. Exodus 2, 15 to 16. Okay, now we must ask who. Okay, thank you, Brother Larry. Who is this priest of Midian? Okay, now someone read Judges 1:16. Okay, brother. The children of who? Kenite. Okay. Moses' father-in-law. Okay, so who were the Kenites? Huh? Jethro. Someone read Judges 4:11. Who has Judges 4:11? Now this is the descendants now. We're talking here Jabez's descendants, okay? Very important. Brother, Judges 4:11. Okay, so we're just learning here that Moses' father-in-law, he was a Kenite. Okay? Now, it says these are the Kenites that came to of Hemath, the father of the house of who? Rahab. Who is Rahab? Someone read Matthew 1 and verse 5. And they think that this Hemath was probably Jericho. Hemath is probably the same as Jericho. This Hemath here is probably what today would be known as modern day Jericho. Okay, so who is the father of the house of Rahab? Okay, who has Matthew 1:5? Okay, brother. And Jesse begat who? David, amen. So, is this royal blood, folks? Jabez was in the lineage of the Messiah. He was a son of sorrow, just like Jesus, acquainted with grief. Okay? This Jabez, this prayer, I mean, you know, I'm still doing a lot more studying about this man, but I think it's interesting that we learn a little bit about, if I'm understanding all of this, as far as I know, I'm just reading what the scriptures say, and I think that it's interesting how that Jabez is of the actually in the posterity of the Messiah. Rahab was the harlot that lived in Jericho, that was on the wall, hid the spies, and hid those spies on her roof under the flax and let them down out of, after it was where they could get escape. She allowed them to escape and save the spies. And she said to them, she said, I know you're going to destroy Jericho, but would you please remember my family? And they said, okay, hang a scarlet cord. Scarlet, interesting, scarlet cord, the blood, amen? Hang that scarlet cord out of your window, and when we come in, all of your family, you get them in your house, and we'll spare all that's in your house. And all of Jericho was destroyed except Rahab's family. And so obviously Rahab married probably one of those spies. Don't know which one, not sure. If you can find the answer to that, let me know. If it was Jabez, if it was Caleb, let me know. But he was in the lineage of the Messiah. And so what a tremendous prayer, this prayer of Jabez. Oh, and so it says here, he said that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast that it may not grieve me. So he was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The other man of sorrows that we're acquainted with is Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus, amen? He was acquainted with grief and a man of sorrows. And so I think it's interesting the similarities that we see in the life of Jabez and his genealogy, and then also the life of our Messiah. I said I thought that perhaps Jabez had a disability. There's nothing, I can't bear that out factually, but you know, why would a mother name her child, you cause me pain, you cause me grief? Unless he was perhaps a breech, maybe a breech child, or what I believe, Jabez had a disability. And the reason that he's recorded in these two verses as such a tremendous man who was more honorable than his brethren, he did not allow anything to hinder him from doing great exploits for God. Amen? And what about you and what about me? God wants us to be strong, to know our God, and to do exploits. Amen?